This episode brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to Squarespace.com and use offer code WeekendConfirmed5. That's Squarespace.com and the code WeekendConfirmed and the number 5.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Weekend confirmed.
Ignition. Liftoff. Liftoff.
Oh yeah, it's good to be back. Definitely. We can confirm time. My name is Garnet Lee, and I'd just like to jump in real quickly first off and say that Jeff has assured me that he has updated his site, which is powered by Squarespace.
It is indeed.
Three times.
So easy to update it.
Three times over the last week, which would be the first three times in the last couple of months.
There's a lot of things on my plate, and my personal blog is not a priority.
I'm just giving you shit, dude.
But there's actually... Funny you should bring that up, Garnet.
Yes.
Because my latest blog entry is announcing the play that I'm doing, which I wanted to plug on this episode anyway.
Yeah, dude, that's fantastic.
June 1st, we open and we go for a month into July. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays in Hollywood. If you are in the area, please come see it. The name of the play is quite long. It's The Inventor, His Girlfriend, Her Husband. It's one of those kind of deals.
So you've already forgotten the name of it.
Yeah. I can guarantee you three things in this play.
Number one.
Full female nudity.
Yes.
I'm not shading you.
Number two.
Lots of laughs. It's really funny. Very well written play.
Not necessarily connected to number one, I hope.
Yeah. And then unfortunately, the number three is that I'm in my underpants.
Oh.
And I know that's
not unfortunate at all.
If even at least one of those things can get you to come see the show.
Hey-o!
It's funny. It's a sex comedy, and it's very
well
written.
I would never have guessed.
Yeah. So come see it. It's on my blog. If you go to jeffcanada.com, you can find out all the details on how to get tickets and such. But it's a smaller theater, so buy your tickets fast because the first night is already sold out.
Really?
Yes.
Dude, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really cool. So along with Jeff Cannata, we also have Indie Jeff here at the other end of the table here.
Hey everyone, how's it going?
Rocking a classic Deus Ex shirt, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, this is one of my oldest gaming shirts.
It's quite cool. You like keep it so that it doesn't get worn out? Do you have like a rotation plan for it?
It's quite faded. It does say Natco on the back though, which is kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. And back after too long of a hiatus, Big Red, Andrea Renee is here.
Hello, everybody.
Good to see you, lovely.
Well, it's good to see you guys too. I miss you guys. Oh, it's so good to be back.
We missed you all too. I missed last week. It was kind of weird.
It was weird, but we're glad to have you back. You were busy. You were a busy, busy boy.
Yeah. There was lots of E3, lots of pre-E3 stuff. Guys, there is lots to be excited about for E3 this year. There is a tremendous amount
to
be excited about.
Tell this one. She said that she's not excited.
I didn't say I wasn't excited.
I'm pretty sure you said exactly that.
It was feeling a little lackluster.
You're a poopy pants.
There was a couple things that I'm excited about, but
poopy
there was
pants.
Also...
He has a point about your pants.
Well, I didn't get poopy. To go to all of the fancy pre-E3 things this year because we have other people at my outlet that get to do that instead.
And that is not a complaint. Well, maybe it is.
It is a complaint. I want to see all the things.
Well, you have to wait for
exactly?
the show.
Okay, so... By the way, we got a jam-packed show for you today. It's going to be excellent. You're going to enjoy it. We got a ton of stuff to talk about, so much so that I have no idea what it is. But we will cover, among other things, the MMO space, which is in turmoil right now due to the events happening Thursday afternoon in Rhode Island and Delaware, perhaps.
Yes, most unfortunate.
With 38 Studios and also Maryland. We have a number of games that we've been playing, which include titles like Max Payne 3, there'll be more Diablo 3, there might be some Ghost Recon, there'll be some iPad stuff, maybe some Rock Band Blitz. I had to catch my breath, there's so much stuff in here. I
mean, yeah.
It's got all that. And I don't know, anything else that we might possibly be able to work into the next 2 hours of our lives.
Lost Planet 3, maybe?
Sure, we can talk some Lost Planet 3. Mm-hmm. Andrew was super stoked for that.
I was.
We all remember what happened last time I was here and we talked about Lost Planet 3.
We did?
I can't remember that long.
No, it was when the trailer was announced, and I said I was more excited about Lost Planet 3 than Resident Evil 6. Don't you remember? And we had a big long debate about it. And then everyone in the comments was like, "She's stupid and doesn't play JRPGs."
You know, well, there's something about
neither
that,
of those is a JRPG, but okay.
There's something about that space that makes me feel a little dead for a third time.
It is a very dead space.
Something like that.
It's a very dead space, but that's not a bad thing. Well, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of
dead space. It's got bugs in it, right? It
does have bugs, and there does have glowy
bugs!
Bits.
Bugs!
It actually feels a lot more like a James Cameron movie to me than anything else.
Sign me up. Exactly why I was excited about it.
Yeah, or there's a Paul Verhoeven movie, perhaps?
Little, yeah, I guess.
Starship Troopers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little, it's almost The Thing.
Oh, that's good.
John Carpenter movie.
That's good.
So as we're getting ready to talk about E3, back to, let's not let Andrea and her poopy pants sneak off here for a diaper change. Why
whoa, who's got poopy pants? Not me.
Why exactly are you not excited about an E3 where you're going to see the Wii U? You're going to see a tremendous, hopefully, fall lineup that will, I think, include heavy hitters like Grand Theft Auto,
Halo 4.
Come on,
AC3,
Assassin's Creed 3,
which is the thing I'm most excited about for this E3.
Is Assassin's Creed 3?
Yes, really? I did have the privilege of seeing a few things at the pre-E3 Ubisoft event, but we only saw one small piece of the much bigger project that they're going to display at E3, and a little piece. Was enough of a nugget for me to be like, oh my gosh, I want to see more. I mean, I know we're not going to see multiplayer until Comic-Con. That's when they're debuting multiplayer for Assassin's Creed 3. But that's the most exciting property that's happening this year outside of Borderlands 2. And I was discussing with Jeff before the show began, I got a really extensive hands-on experience with Borderlands 2 at PAX East, which I was really
awesome.
You know, excited about. I mean, I literally got to play the game for an hour at PAX East. So for me, I'm there. I'm excited. I want that game. I'm going to be surprised if they show me something else that's going to really blow my mind with that game, because I'm already super excited for it to come out.
Do you like the BioShocks?
Yes, of course.
You like the BioShocks?
But BioShock's not going to be at E3.
All right, so although it's one of those cases where I can't say more, I'll just give you something because it's only a week and, you know, but 2 weeks away, Dishonored.
Yes, I've heard good things. And all the previews I've seen so far of it look really cool. And the story looks cool.
I wish to God that I could talk more about it right now. And I cannot wait to E3, because I think you're going to see out of E3, like, this game is just fucking amazing.
Do you think it's going to be the BioShock of E3 this year? It's going to do what BioShock Infinite did for E3 last year? Because BioShock Infinite was the darling of the show last year.
I think it could be. I think it's a much interesting,
I was the darling of
second place, Jeff, second place.
Without speaking about the game, I think that it's a much different situation, because Dishonored is a game that is, from what we saw, in good shape for relaunch on time this fall. So you're talking about a game that isn't just here's a vertical slice. It's here's a game that's almost complete that we've got to, Harvey Smith, when I was speaking to him at this event, said he's already played through the game several times. So it's there.
That is awesome.
And it is.
That's good.
That is.
I don't think I can take it if one more game is pushed to 2013.
It's badass. And so you've got that. And, you know, like you said, Assassin's Creed 3 multiplayer isn't going to be there, but the single player is.
Excited about Assassin's Creed. Absolutely. And there's other things to be excited about. I just feel like going into this E3, I don't have as much hype for this year. As I had last year. I had more hype going into E3 last year, going, oh my gosh.
What was driving your hype
last
year?
Cool things. I think a lot of it was the reveal of the Wii U. I mean, you say there's going to be Wii U this year. It's like, well, I had the controller in my hands last year.
Well, you have the real one this time.
Right, exactly. It's not going to be a tech demo. We also talked about that in the pre-show. But I don't know. It's just something about me. Maybe it's because I haven't seen enough stuff yet. Like I said, you got to see all this really cool stuff at Judges Week. And so maybe once I get there on after Monday, after the press conferences, maybe then I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be really awesome. I'm going to eat my words. But for me, I feel like
normally, what's your zodiac sign again?
Leo.
Does that relate to this somehow? I mean, maybe I don't.
I'm also a Leo.
And are you also poopy pantsing?
No,
I'm not poopy pantsing. I'm just saying. Normally, my days at E3 are jam packed with all this really awesome stuff I want to see. And this year, I feel like I could fit everything I really want to see in a single day.
In one day?
What?
Are you kidding me?
Girl, you crazy?
What?
Girl. You are crazy.
Like I said, I'm open to you selling me otherwise. You're the one who's seen everything.
I haven't sold you yet.
Right. So
really,
sell me.
I haven't sold
Mr. Lee.
I have not sold you yet on what's going to be exciting. All right. So then tell me, what's the first thing you're going to go see at E3?
On your one day.
On your one day. And you're like, oh my God.
On your lazy one thing. Day where you can just casually walk from easy meeting to
By the
easy
way,
meeting.
Lazy.
Because there's so little to see.
Lazy Sunday part two.
Funny.
Genius.
Yeah, pretty funny.
Was genius again.
Yeah.
Yes. My first thing to see, would, like I said, would be Assassin's Creed 3.
All right.
Then I would go see if it's there. It hasn't been confirmed publicly, at least I don't think, is Tomb Raider. Because last year, if you remember, I was very upset with what they did with Tomb Raider and the demo that they showed. And I was like, who is this sissy Lara Croft girl
you
who's
can
moaning
rest,
throughout the whole demo?
You can rest assured that Lara will be there.
Okay, good. Obviously. So I am definitely looking forward to seeing what they've done, you know, because we didn't see anything from that the whole year
sure.
long. Nothing.
They've gone dark.
So I want
to
see that.
And they've moved to 2013. So they've given
yes,
themselves a long
which,
runway still.
You know, we kind of predicted that it wasn't going to come out this year. I would like to say I'm going to see Grand Theft Auto, but Rockstar's not going to be there. So I don't honestly think Grand Theft Auto is coming out this year. I think it's going to be a 2013 release. We haven't
Rockstar's
heard anything.
Coming. Rockstar will be there by virtue of one of the two press conferences.
They're going to like release a trailer.
Yep. And it will come out this fall. So by the way, so while we're on that, bets? Anyone taking it not being Xbox? That has Grand
Exclusive?
Theft. That no, that has the trailer as a hero in their press conference.
Oh, I think yeah, it's Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
Do you differ? You think?
What do you mean?
So E3 press conferences typically have what they term heroes, which are the big, you know, tent pole games around which
it's like
they
Call of Duty's coming out on both, but one of the two gets those guys to walk out on stage and show it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, I don't see why it would be Sony.
No one's disagreeing.
I think it's.
I mean, it once upon a day was a PlayStation franchise.
Yeah,
but I think they pretty. I think they feel pretty good about what they have in their holster right now.
But the last two games that they've done, well, the last two open world like Red Dead and GTA 4 were both, you know, a little bit better on 360. Yeah, so
and by the way, just
ponied
another,
up and gave them the money for all the DLC and
yeah.
They still have a relationship.
Another checkbox by standing by Grand Theft Auto coming out this fall was Andrew was looking at the financial report that they did, and they're projecting a huge number for the end of this year. And the only way they hit
maybe they're playing a lot of lottery tickets.
Maybe they're playing a lot of lottery tickets. That is possible.
Well,
that
well,
is
I mean,
possible.
You
or
have
maybe
to understand the Black Ops 2 is going to be a big factor on that number, right?
For Take Two.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Xbox.
No.
That was my bad.
Yeah, Take Two. So you don't think Rockstar is gonna be there? So you're not gonna go look. I mean, Rockstar's not gonna be there, but you don't think Grand Theft Auto is gonna come out this fall? And you started off by going to Assassin's Creed, and then you went to
Tomb Raider.
And now then you're gonna take a nap and get a sandwich.
Yeah.
and then I'm gonna go have a beer.
And then you're gonna like walk out onto the sidewalk and see if you can sell your badge to anybody.
I'm good with this so far, so good.
I definitely want to see Dishonored. I haven't seen it up close and personal. I've only seen like Dev Diary or trailers type stuff. So I would like to see like an actual demo of that game.
All right.
And I think that's. I also would like to see Elder Scrolls MMO, but I don't know if they're going to show anything. I'm pretty sure that they're going to have a trailer. I mean, it would be smart for them to have a trailer,
definitely.
But I don't know if they're going to have like a hands-on or if it's just going to be like a walkthrough demo.
Well, I think, and we're going to talk about MMOs coming up here in a little bit. They're in a really, really interesting position as this landscape for MMOs really begins to shift on a you know big scale. Okay.
Yes, and I know they're going to be showing Dead Space 3, and I had an infamous experience with Dead Space 2 at E3, where I literally screamed out loud in the demo room.
Because Cole from Infamous.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm sorry. I said Dead Space. Did I say Dead Space?
You said an infamous experience.
My bad.
Yeah.
No, you're confusing me.
I was just messing with
you. I think what she meant was she had a legendary experience.
Yes.
She had an Uncharted experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are fuckers.
Exactly. A prototypical experience.
Hold on, it's getting hot here. Let me take my gold sweater off. They're going to show, EA's going to show Dead Space 3, right?
Okay.
Yes, they're going to. They have to. And then after that, I know there's something I'm missing.
Halo 4.
Well,
it's kind of a little... title.
Yes, and no, it's a big title, obviously. Halo 4 is a huge title.
Okay.
It's just not I like Halo. I like playing Halo. It's just not something that I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to see Halo.
Any of the PlayStation titles at all getting you
Last
excited?
Last of Us?
Last of Us I would love to see, but again, I haven't heard anything about it. Like, that's
Don't
my problem,
to this
right?
Show,
okay,
I guess.
But not
that's
having,
my problem, is
but
that,
you know, a
is
lot
that
of
I haven't been making the appointment. This is the first year that I haven't made my own appointments for E3.
Don't you expect that Last of Us will be there, though?
Okay. That's what I'm saying. It's hard
isn't
for me
it
to get
to
as excited because I don't know what's going to be there.
Well, then that's a little unfair to say. It seems lackluster because I'm uninformed.
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Boy, I don't understand why I'm so
excited about these things. That's why I'm glad that we're doing this, because now Garnet can inform me about everything that's going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just dying to So there's this new game from
Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog, right? Right. And it's called
The Last of Us.
No. We're making a game up, remember?
Oh, we're making a game up.
Why are you making stuff up? Just tell me what's going to be there so I can be like, oh my God, I was totally wrong. She's heard about.
Oh, you know what's going to be there?
I'm quivering in my loins right now.
I bet there'll be another version of the XCOM first-person shooter game since they're rebooting it again.
Oh my God.
I really don't think it'll be there. Wow. I don't think they're going to show anything for that.
Dude, can we...
Oh, Lord.
When are they going to bury that?
I'm actually very excited about that. How can we control and be cynical? Well, I know that the things that they've shown up to this point, they are clearly not satisfied with, and they're committed to putting out a quality title, and I always respect that. And we're getting the XCOM game that I actually want.
Well, that's what exactly.
Yeah.
That's what we should all be excited about.
I am excited about that. And I think that, you know, maybe they can come back and put out something that's really interesting. Hopefully
they're not delaying it just to put those amorphous black blob aliens back in there.
Oh, those were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there was very little that was
awesome.
The
blackened dryer sheets gone static cling electric.
Instilling a sense of, what the fuck?
Yeah. I think the thing about the XCOM game, the first-person shooter game, is that there is probably a design core around which that game could be built. But every time they second-guess, there's probably a number of ways it could go, and they don't seem to be confident in any of them, so they start to second-guess. And I think you could second-guess it any number of ways because it is a complex game design in the first place. It's like, do you want to make a tactical game? Do you want to make a story-driven game? Do you want to make a RPG-like game with character attributes? And right now someone else is typing out this post, no, I want all those things in one game. That's fine. Even if you want all those things in one game, someone still has to prioritize them and build the design model around them and say, here's what we're doing, and then be confident enough in it that when fans question it, they don't just fold up their tents and go, you know what, maybe we should do something different.
Yeah.
We could do something different.
Putting the XCOM, I understand wanting to make a new game with the XCOM license, but putting the XCOM title on that thing,
I don't think it did it any favors.
But it could if they made the right game.
If Enemy Unknown tanks, then I think we see that become a little more questionable as to whether it ever happens or not.
Right.
But I hope Enemy Unknown is the amazing XCOM game we all want.
Seriously, yeah. I hope so too.
And then that is a reinvigorated IP, and then there's a lot of desire to make this other corner of that universe really interesting and really dynamic.
I am really almost ready to just jump on Enemy Unknown sight unseen and be like, oh, I'm in.
From my past love of XCOM, I'm tempted to do that. But from the things I've heard about that game, it's also daring to be a little different and modern and new, and so there's potential for messing up that formula as well.
So having watched the demos of the shooter before, which we've seen 3 years worth of E3s.
3 years? Has it been three or two? I think it's two, but that'd be three.
Might be three.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, I've seen it an awful lot of times.
So have I.
Have there not been moments, though, when you were sitting... I mean, I will admit that for me, there have been a couple of moments where I was sitting there going, okay, you know what? I'm not in love with parts of this, but there are some things here that could be cool.
Well,
inside the XCOM base.
Yeah.
And managing missions and hopefully building up... And so this is a side that I think would be cool. I think that would be cool from a sort of Tom Clancy-esque approach of building my squad and my team, managing the missions that I want to go out on, and then hitting them in a third-person tactical shooter sort of game, that would be cool. I don't think that they need to then... Like, I don't know where they get lost in it from there. Like, that seems like a great core around which a really good XCOM action game could be built.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, to me, it's based on just what I've seen. It feels like, you know, Fallout Reboot or, you know, any of those other games that were traditional strategy games that Bethesda's since, you know.
Yeah.
It feels that way to me, and those don't really feel like, it feels like the shooting is sort of, you know, not in the forefront as much as like an actual shooter that relies on that as its core.
But
mechanic.
That's what I would like. I don't want it to be just a shooter.
Yeah, I don't want it to be just a shooter.
I don't think most people would. But yeah. Again, if you're not going to do that stuff with the tactical combat and tactical decisions and building up your base and all that sort
but
of
stuff. But it's got to be about like finding the alien technology and when you're looking at the world mapping, making decisions about which alien, you know, each alien signal you go in and interdict, you know, where are you to choose to send your teams and what sort of stuff you bring back and what your lab's able to develop and then how that impacts.
That's much more a strategy game now. Now you've made a sort of tactical strategy game.
That's why I was saying from a Tom Clancy sort of approach. Like, yeah. And the XCOM framework gives them a inlet to do more of that sort of like almost Q Labs Bond sort of tech stuff that you can't really do in Ghost Recon.
Yeah.
Because like Ghost Recon, we're saying, oh, this is established tech. And Ghost Recon, obviously, the focus is on the battlefield. There's planning stage and there's, you know, outfitting your guys and all that sort of stuff. But really, it's all about what happens in the battlefield experience. Whereas here, you could have like a good balance between the two. Anyway, I'm sure that's the pitch. And I'm sure this is the reason why they keep coming back to this game and going, God damn it, we ought to be able to make this work somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
But not putting it out is, I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of not putting it out if it's not.
Oh, I'm in favor of not putting it out if it doesn't work as well.
So.
So we haven't talked about Wii U at all. I mean, this segment became the E3 excitement segment, which is fine because we're excited about E3. Next week's show is the last show before E3. Believe.
I'm not ready.
Believe.
I think, I'm basing this on nothing, but I think there's going to be a Wii U Mario title.
Basing on nothing other than it being a fucking Nintendo.
No. I don't mean just announced. I mean a launch title. I mean it'll.
It has to be. They have to launch the Wii U with a Mario title. I think they learned their lesson with the 3DS.
I mean, they didn't launch
with a Mario title, and it really killed their sales. And as soon as they released Super Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart 7, the sales skyrocketed.
And look, now they've circled their wagons, and they've recognized. Look, they've got a 2D Mario game coming. Yeah. They really recognize the strength of Mario. And the 3DS has been, you know, been like a phoenix coming back out of its initial dive based off of those strengths.
Yeah.
Arguably based off of those strengths.
I think all of it points to that. Absolutely. I mean, those games led the way for that to be revived. So, and there's been talk about there being a new Super Mario Brothers. So I would be, I would actually be surprised if they didn't announce one.
I just hope they have some strong first party stuff, regardless of what it is.
Oh, I think they're going to have some strong first party stuff.
Yeah, they need to have it.
What the hell do you think Retro's making?
Well,
I have no idea. No one really knows what Retro is making, but right. Retro, you know, just based off of the hiring ads they've had out there, are in full production mode, heading towards something this fall, which seems to line up with Wii U launch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we know what a great job they did with Samus.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that they're going to get another property.
What other property would there be?
I don't know.
Yeah,
like a Metroid game and Wii U launch with
the pad, and that could be really cool. The analysis angle.
I mean, think about all the stuff that you had to do.
Yeah, hold it up to the screen, and then you're seeing a different view. That's
right.
Cool, I guess. Come on,
that would be fucking awesome.
Cool. I'm not saying it's not cool.
It might be a little gimmicky.
You are a Leo. You are both Leo Poopy Pants. Leo Poopy Pants. Leo Poopy Pants.
I'm not saying that is not cool. I'm saying that is not enough cool.
What was the last game you guys played on the Wii that you actually needed to play on the Wii?
Zelda.
Skyward Sword, yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, but that's...
Galaxy 2.
Yeah, Zelda was my last one, too. But I mean, like I think back of all the titles that I really played on that system, and...
I played the shit out of Raving Rabbids TV Party. Hell yeah.
I think that a great, like, I think right. that a fantastic...
Everyone's like,
fantastic Metroid game that utilized that controller. I mean, just to scan stuff would be really cool if it did all the other things. But then think about, you know, there's obviously would have to be some other things that they could do.
Yeah.
With the pad, the sci-fi setting is perfect. You're able to transfer things into the pad and back out of the pad. I'm down for that.
I mean, Metroid Prime is one of my favorite games of all time. So,
and I have no idea if that's what's happening. Retro is doing something. I don't know what the hell it would be. There've been some weird rumors about like crossover games that I just don't necessarily buy into.
You think they're thinking about a Donkey Kong title?
I'm sure all the stable of heroes is in play, but like what I feel like Nintendo. He's going to put some emphasis on adult stuff. I mean, their launch lineup, right, is all these games that were last year's big, like
Batman Arkham City.
Yeah, Arkham City. Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think they're probably going to be pushing, there'll probably be a first party title, maybe a Castlevania? I don't know. Some sort of something that is a little more adult.
All right.
I don't want to use the word hardcore.
Well, I think there's a whole lot to be excited about for E3, and we're going to have daily video shows. TRS will be there.
Yeah.
You guys let me come and
I'm going to, grab your
We should all do something together at E3.
We will all do something together.
You guys
got to
come
by
the Machinima booth. We're live streaming the entire show.
Sweet.
We'll do that. I'm also going to go over, I guess, and then flap on Davison's GameSpot stage something.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah.
It'll be crazy. It'll be all kinds of mashup. It's like everybody who's not employed by Polygon. Which is not very many people anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, now we've done the pre-E3 thing. We still have a ton of games to cover. So we will take a little break here. And when we come back, we will talk about 38 Studios. We'll talk about MMOs. And then we'll get onto some games. Stick around. We can confirm. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. They have an easy-to-use UI for creating and managing a website or blog, and you can use Squarespace for all your website needs. I do. JeffCanada.com is on Squarespace. I built it there. I host it there, and I update it all the time. They have an awesome iPhone app that I can just pop in and update things. It's easy, and you can get a free trial by going to Squarespace.com and signing up for a free account. There's no credit card needed. You can just try it out and start building your website. And then if you decide to purchase it, use our promo code, WeekendConfirmed5, and you'll get 10% off your first purchase. That's on new accounts at squarespace.com. Use the offer code WeekendConfirmed5.
WeekendConfirmed5?
Yeah.
I don't...
I don't write the shit.
You don't write it.
You just read it in that sexy voice.
That's just the code, yo.
I want to know who used WeekendConfirmed4-1, all right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Clearly, it was not 38 Studios who needed all kinds of sponsorship.
Do you want me to solve that puzzle for you?
Solve that puzzle for me.
Do you want me to?
What?
Five means May.
Five. Oh, okay. I see. It's the Weekend Confirmed campaign in May.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, if you guys will use it, it'd be nice. Show some love for the sponsors. All right. So late in the afternoon, yesterday being Thursday, word got out that 38 Studios had sort of unceremoniously, according to the email that was republished on Gamasutra, laid off everybody.
And yeah, basically collapsed like a flan in a cupboard.
This story...
Why would you put a flan in the cupboard?
To watch it collapse.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I see.
that's why, yeah. You don't eat it.
This is, it's really not a laughing matter. Unfortunately, one of the reports I read stated that it was estimated the Rhode Island studio alone had 375 employees. The big huge game studio, of course, in Maryland had several people working there. I think I guess a order of a couple hundred, even though they had launched Reckoning. And this is a really, really sad situation. So
is this a pure result of Reckoning not doing well, or is it a result of them not putting out anything to follow it up, or what is this? Or just poor management?
It seems like it's a case of poor management and planning for the launch of Copernicus, which was the code name for their MMO.
Right.
And
but that wasn't anywhere close to being launched, right?
No. And as a matter of fact, as part of the... So they did this deal where they moved from Boston up to Rhode Island in order to secure some tax benefits. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to appear that perhaps they didn't even do that correctly and that they remained incorporated in Delaware and weren't going to be able to get the $8.8 million in tax credit from Rhode Island, which might have been what really ultimately, flicked the card on the House of Cards and made them all come tumbling down on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Big Huge is sort of... in a weird damned if you do and damned if you didn't situation. So keep in mind, this was Brian Reynolds' studio. Brian Reynolds, who's gone on now to Zynga.
Yeah.
And, he was a fantastic designer with Sid Meier, was, basically the lead on Alpha Centauri. Did a great, fantastic strategy game designer. And did Rise of Nations and then Rise of Legends, two of my all-time favorite, fantastic freaking real-time strategy games. If you never played them, folks, you should totally play them. They're really good. So, he left to go to Zynga. And at the time he was leaving, they were in the process already of working on this action RPG game. And it looked very bad for them. It looked like they were going to close. And 38 Studios came in and bought them wholesale and cooked this deal with EA Partners. And it made a lot of sense for them because they had spent all this time and effort developing the legacy, all of the canon for this World of Amalur, and they were expecting people just to go buy an MMO. And it's like, well, we don't know anything about this fantasy world, and why should we care about it? And, you know, if you think about like games like Ion and Terra, two recent ones, mm-hmm. you sort of are, you know, you're supposed to hit the ground running already having this great understanding of this, you know, this massive world and all the factions and all the politics and all that kind of stuff. So they figured, we take this action RPG, we add our lore to it, we make it work for our world, and now we've really given players who are that into it a big chance to have played it and gotten into it. Well, that game seems to have done pretty well. I mean, NPD said 460,000 sold, right?
That sounds like the right ballpark, yeah. And
then Kurt said, so let's see, there was like, because there's been a lot of posturing of late, right? So it's part of the bankruptcy and like the Rhode Island fiasco with the press conference. There was a bunch of like, oh, that game was a flop. And there's been a lot of pinning the tail on the donkey with that game. And I think Kurt said that it sold 1.2 million internationally. Regardless, it sold well. It did. It was not a blockbuster, but new IP action role-playing game, lots of competition in that space. It did very well. But it looks like that studio, which would not have gotten a chance to probably get the game out,
right,
and wound up doing well with it, then winds up getting spanked because 38 Studios is probably going to have to go bankrupt to deal with all of the financial obligations they have that they can't meet, because I guess they have no real hope of publishing Copernicus. What a disaster.
It is.
Yeah, that's a management problem, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, because it's interlocked deals. It's like, you know, two projects that are basically pulling from the same cash pool, ostensibly. And you got to make that shit work. Like, if you're gonna hinge one project on another and basically bank your whole studio's future on it, you know, I mean, maybe an MMO isn't the right way to go if you're gonna.
Well, there were accusations or assertions that, you know, from the Rhode Island Business Development Commission that 38 Studios was supposed to go out and secure private investment,
right,
to cover the gap. Now, this whole thing's weird to me because the whole thing originally was pitched as like Kurt Schilling using his baseball money to get into the games business. And he made a lot of money. And if he really was in, I mean, he convinced me he was into it. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, and you would think he would know a lot of people. You'd think he'd be able to go out and be like, really, hey, buddies, you know, here's what I got going on. And it's going to be really awesome. And I believe in it. And it's going to be successful.
You think that he would be able to successfully pitch the company, is what you're saying, right?
But yeah, but it turned out to be his Achilles heel.
Oh, mm-hmm. Jesus God. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. All right.
There
so that's disappointing. And it really saddens me that Big Huge is, you know, finally met its demise. And I think that I really liked Amalur Reckoning. I really liked Reckoning.
I loved that game. I had a lot of great times with that.
So. And I really, really hate this revisionist sort of, oh, well, it wasn't a good game and it didn't do well because it didn't save Copernicus. No, probably if you were able to pull the balance sheets on it, it would appear from what we've heard that it made enough in sales that it probably made some money, mm-hmm. all things being told at the end of the day. But this studio is in such trouble and they expanded. I mean, if they were really, think about it, they were 375, if that report is accurate. They had R.A. Salvatore on, you know, full-time status. They had McFarlane doing. Yeah, right. I mean, this is not cheap development.
No.
It's not cheap development at all.
Yeah. I'm sure those guys
trying to make triple A products and yeah.
So.
It's unfortunate, but I don't know what more we can add to the fact that it's unfortunate. It sucks.
Well, my question is, what do you think is realistically the future for MMOs? Because we were getting into this in the pre-show. And we know that Star Wars has already lost a third-ish of its player base as subscribers from the outset. But more interestingly was this study, or I guess as a survey, informal fan survey that was done by someone very creative who posted on the official forums about how they used a program to go in and do whoises on all the servers and compile data from the populations that they reported to get a snapshot, a survey average snapshot of the population at any given time on these servers. And it was really in detail. We actually have a story on Shack News about it where it references back to the longer post that details the survey methodology they use to arrive at these. But they basically said the average server in Star Wars right now at any given time has about 350 people on it. That doesn't sound like a lot of people.
No.
Because it isn't a lot of people. That's
good thing the game is like geared towards single player, you know. You can go and play through the single player story yourself because, I mean, I think
that was the idea.
I think a lot more people would be noticing. I mean, people would have already noticed it if it weren't so like, nobody's around and my friends are online. I'll just go do some quests, you know?
I think this is the really, here's the core thing. And this is what really starts to, and maybe this caused some slowdown in development of Copernicus is what do you do right now with an MMO to make it a really, we got into this rush because World of Warcraft did so very well and attracted so many players, right? So now a lot of people wanted to get on that. We've seen a number of answers to that question. Terra's answer is we have a great action combat system.
Yeah.
So you have fun while you're out adventuring, and hopefully you do it with your friends, and you'll get hooked for a while. But, and granted, there are other games out. When I asked you earlier, Jeff, you liked it. How much have you played it in the last couple of weeks?
It's a bad question because if there was no such thing as Diablo 3, I would be playing it a lot.
Or if Terra was better than Diablo 3, you would be playing it a lot.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. If Terra came out after Diablo 3 and I played Terra after Diablo 3, would I be still hooked on that? I don't know.
Well,
I can only handle one addiction at a time.
Well, that's kind of what the problem that Reckoning ran into, right? That people were still playing Skyrim.
Oh, absolutely.
And it wasn't a better game than Skyrim by most people's opinions. And so was it a bad game? No. But, I mean, people were like on this thing and this thing was just too similar. Not to say that Diablo and Terra are the same game because clearly they're not. But, I mean,
I think it's clear that the future is free to play to a large... The answer to that question, to a large extent, is free to play. But
what hasn't happened? Go ahead. I'm sorry, I mean,
no. Go ahead. Yeah, you can finish.
Well, I think what hasn't happened, and to speak to the Star Wars situation, what hasn't happened is the next evolution of what do I give the player as the service part of the game. So we figured out pretty well the service from a structural side part of how to run an MMO, how to build a community, how to do all those things that make it a social network sort of thing.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, when we create an MMO, every MMO still seems to fall into go kill some rats, go kill some bigger rats, go kill some goblins, go kill some bigger goblins, go kill some wyverns. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's a progression of just these same sort of quest after quest after quests that don't really that part of the design hasn't really matured.
And how many times are you going to pay $60 or whatever
to churn through
fee? To churn through that again and again, even if it's got a different skin on it.
No, I think that you're going to find a lot. I think people are going to pay $60 to do that a lot.
But that is a core segment of people, though.
No, but I don't think there's a problem finding a market for people to play the next new shiny MMO.
How about staying with it?
That, for a minute. Yeah. That is the question.
Did you played Star Wars, right?
I did.
How far did you get?
Oh, God, level 30 or something like that.
And have you played that at all?
No, I didn't really fall in love with that game either. I mean, I had an initial love of the nostalgia of Star Wars, but as far as a long-term...
Right.
But I don't think...
So let's pull back for a second. It's fucking Star Wars.
It's fucking Star Wars, but it's also fucking WoW. It's fucking WoW, and I just was sick of staring at my cooldowns all the time, and that's why I really fell in love with Terra, because it offered something really very substantially different.
I think that's fair. I liked Terra,
and but there is, I think, certainly in me, and it's not fair to extrapolate the general population based on me because of my job, but I have a churn that I go through that, you know, I'm kind of on to the next thing pretty frequently, but I don't think. You know, if people buy Battlefield and then they buy Medal of Honor and then they buy Call of Duty, nobody's going, well, I mean, I guess they want to retain online multiplayer for those games as well. But all they care about is that you bought the game, right? So it's in the MMO space, it's where you need to retain these players. And I just don't think.
You don't think Call of Duty Elite is about maintaining players?
Absolutely it is. But nobody's looking at. I mean, I don't think it's the same proposition as a World of Warcraft or even a Star Wars. I don't think they're expecting Elite to fill that. Do you?
Yeah.
You really do?
No, you don't. Do you really?
To fill that player maintenance and
keep... Well, certain player maintenance, but you don't expect them to... They think that they're going to have numbers in Elite comparable. I mean, I don't think they think of everybody who plays Call of Duty is going to be an Elite subscriber.
But it's the same mechanism.
They definitely do. They definitely think that they can get... I bet you there are internal projections at Activision right now that have them at better than 3/4 of sales having an elite membership in 3 years.
I feel like that service...
Only if Elite is going to continue to be a paid thing.
Well, it feels like that's frosting on a different cake, and whereas these other things aren't frosting, they're the cake. Do you know what I mean? If Star Wars is looking at their subscriber base as the cake, not the frosting, and I feel like Elite is the frosting.
Elite is definitely not going to stay frosting.
Hmm. All right.
It was not. It was not.
You're probably not.
It was not built to the size and scale that it is, and with the sort of thought pattern that it has about building the cyclical service based nature of online shooter just to be a frosting. They might do cupcakes every so often in $60 boxes, but the cake will eventually be Elite.
Yeah,
the cake will eventually be Elite, and it'll be a lie.
Of course. I don't know if subscription based services for individual games is a viable model anymore.
It depends on what the game is and what you're delivering through the subscription.
Yes.
Right? So it's all about content delivery. So you're looking at the content delivery through, you know, an MMO like WoW, and you're like, okay, well, there's world events and there's new raids and this, that, and the other thing. And Elite's got, you know, early access to map packs that the hardcore people are like, oh, sweet, you know, play it early. Mm-hmm. But that's what it is. It's a content delivery system. And it's, I think you're right about free-to-play being sort of the, you know, overarching most common way for new MMOs to sort of hit the street. But I think you'll also see a hybrid subscription model for the people that are like, once you get into it, play it for a bit, and you're like, I like this game. I'm going to buy the, you know, whatever subscription that's going to give me X number of pieces of content, and X number of raids or maps or whatever. But it's always going to break down that way. Like, you're always going to have people that want to try it and don't want to invest in it, whether it's a subscription or some sort of service. You know, you're going to have that split. You're going to have the core fan base, which always metastasizes around, you know, the game because they are into that space. And then everyone else is going to kind of, they're going to snipe them off, pick them off here and there. You know, people are going to, you know, have occasional subscribers, but you know, you don't, I think that trying to charge everyone that plays an MMO $60 or $50 a month,
$15 a month
or 15, okay, $60 for the initial purchase, $15 a month. Right. I don't think that long term, not everybody is going to play that game every day or whatever. It's not. Right.
Clearly, that's what happened with Star Wars. Yeah. People, there are obviously a number of people who looked at Star Wars as, I'm going to pay $60 for this and play it as a single player game.
Yeah, and that's why free to play is so genius, because when you're spending money, you're only spending money when you're getting something out of the dollars you're spending.
Right.
And I think that subscriptions weigh on people because it's like, oh my god, I've gone 2 weeks without playing that game and I'm still paying for it.
Even people with Netflix are like, oh man, I gotta watch all these fucking movies. Or, I mean, it's not as bad anymore with digital, but yeah, it's the same thing.
For some reason,
you feel like you're compelled to.
For some reason, we don't feel that way about cable, or at least I think a new generation is starting to feel that way. But for the most part, it was accepted as just this thing that everybody paid for, regardless of how long you used it.
Right.
But these other premium services, I think, especially when it comes up for per game subscriptions, I think that people are like, even if I wanted to play this, I'm not playing it as much as I should to justify that. So I'm just going to cancel my subscription.
At the end of the day, everybody looks at it as a value proposition.
Right.
Am I paying for what I'm getting, or am I getting my money's worth?
That's the genius of free to play, because free to play goes, you want something awesome? Pay for it right now. You get it right now. You're playing the game right now. You only bought what you wanted to buy in that moment. When you're not playing it, don't pay us.
That's why that model is so big.
So you've got the service model down. I still think that there's an important component here of the design that hasn't gotten worked out. And I think that ultimately, when you look when you look at a property that is as valuable a license as Star Wars, and that is an MMO that's struggling, I think you have to look at some of the other factors. And I think that design-wise, they missed in both regards.
Well, I'll tell you what the big problem with Star Wars, completely, this is just anecdotal, but I think the biggest problem with Star Wars is the license hinders what they can do. And in the sense of, you know what's fun about playing Diablo and WoW and shit? It's getting new shit for my guy. You know what's not fun about getting new shit for your guy in Star Wars, it's fucking beige. And the new thing you got is also beige. And oh, I got a new hooded beige thing. Oh, awesome, a new lightsaber. Except that it looks like every other fucking lightsaber I've ever gotten. Oh, awesome, a blaster? It looks like a blaster. Oh, dude, new pants. Guess what? They're fucking beige. It's a fucking, you're in a sea of boring ass.
That's true.
Lucasonian.
Beige is the new brown.
Yeah, because you're bound by the IP. Yeah.
Exactly. And so there isn't the story stuff that they managed to inject into that is awesome and really fun. But you've churned, it really is. It's very well done.
Then why didn't you finish it?
Because new things fucking came on my plate, dude. But, and I didn't want to pay the subscription fee.
Well,
zing.
Well, and the underpinning gameplay wasn't.
Here's what I was saying is their design became very single player motivated. As they admitted, I mean, one of the things that they felt that, at least messaging-wise, I think that we all got this across, that we don't want you to think that we're not making a KOTOR sequel, because this is it, and it's three or four KOTOR sequels. It's all we wanted to do, and you really got this impression that, yeah, we got a great single-player game, and they didn't necessarily have a great single-player game, because it was still an MMO, and at the same time, they didn't really evolve the MMO world at all, because really, it's been very quickly tabbed as World of Warcraft Star Wars, which is an 8-year-old game.
It's a combination of both things. It's, you're right. It's totally the evolution. It's total, or the lack of evolution in these games. But it's also the economic model, right? I mean, you look at iOS stuff, right?
If there was something fun for me to do in a Star Wars, I optimistically think that if I was given a couple of years to sit down and think about it and work it out and plan it out, that I could come up with a really cool way to have a Star Wars MMO that would keep me doing things that wouldn't just be the same old, because Star Wars world is really cool, and we've already learned a lot from what other MMOs have done.
But could you get a publisher to dump like millions of dollars into developing that?
If I was BioWare, I would hope so.
Well, yeah, if you're BioWare. But I mean, yeah. So yeah, you're right.
And then we got to look at Marvel Heroes, which we saw the first gameplay video from this week.
Very exciting.
It's free to play. It's on a license, true. But it's going to take great advantage of that license because it's drawing from all the comic book library. Mm-hmm. So you know, you can create your Thor from any number of Thors. You can create your Spider-Man from any number of Spider-Mans and put them together, and that gives you some ability to tweak the parameters.
Can make him Beta Ray Bill. I'll be happy.
You should be able to. You should be able to like adjust skills and special powers and all those things the way you want to. And it's free to play to draw you into. But it's not a like look, free to play is no longer a bad word at all.
Not at all. Yeah.
This game's being developed with Dave Brevik at the helm. Dave Brevik is, you know, I met the guy several times in San Francisco. He was one of the big creative sparks behind Diablo and Diablo 2. And I think you really can see that if you've seen the video. It very much looks like a superhero version of a Diablo-like game. But that sounds exciting to me. It's free to play, so it'll pull you in. I think it'll have great populations. They seem to be on top of it, where I get the feeling that they have more understanding of what's going on here and have a great game design and engine than many other comers in that space.
Did you play DC Universe?
I did not.
I did. I liked it a lot.
I mean, it sounds a lot like DC Universe.
More isometric view with a smaller character on screen.
A little more Diablo.
A little arted up, too.
But yeah. And DCUO is a lot more build your own character, and they interact with Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman in the universe.
Right. You're not using the actual character traits.
Right.
Because you're like making your custom hero or whatever, yeah.
I do think there's a danger in that IP holding them back. Similarly,
could
because as much as I really feel like it's just because I'm so knee deep in I'm drowning in Diablo lately. It's reminding me what that crack really is.
Let's talk about this. How are you drowning? You really are drowning in Diablo,
dude.
Really
I don't go to bed. I have not gone to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning since Diablo came out, and wow. I can't stop playing it, dude. It's not good. It's not my girlfriend plays it. Like
girlfriend's playing it, because if she wasn't playing it and you were like chained to your computer like that,
I know.
It'd be bad for you.
Yeah, that saved my relationship.
Diablo 3
like
saved
and I in
my
Skyrim.
Relationship.
We were on separate rooms playing Skyrim together.
It's
separate rooms.
Yeah, because we had two TVs.
Why don't you put them next to each other?
We do sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's got me meditating on this idea of what is this crack? What are they doing?
What is this crack of which you smoke?
I'm meditating on crack.
Welcome to the temple.
What special sauce have they found that Blizzard seems to know how to put in their games that other companies don't seem to get? And it is so not tangible. It is not a one thing you can point your finger at.
It's so intangible that Blizzard doesn't even know. Come on, they nerfed the shit out of the monk the week it comes out after they polished the game for 2 years.
Yeah,
they polished the game for 2 years, and the game comes out, and they're like, oh shit, that monk's really overpowered.
Well,
I guess somebody should have played the monk before we launched.
I'm not saying they're perfect.
That beta that we had for months and months and months clearly did nothing for us.
Yeah, exactly.
How the hell did that happen?
I think that's a world of difference between 6.7 million people playing your game into the upper levels and putting out a beta.
No. But you follow what I'm saying? Is I'm not even sure that they exactly know what they're onto, because it's so funny that they could have a game that has that degree of oh shit to it.
Yeah.
And yet, like you said, you're up till 2 a.m. and they've got 6.3 million people playing it, and it's unbelievable.
Well, with Diablo, it's just an instant, like, you know, action, reward, action, reward, action, reward. There is no gap between. I mean, even when you're taking an item back to town or whatever, you're killing monsters and shit's flying out of them, and you're like, oh, cool, a new item, and you're going in and equipping your... It's a constant, like, you're making progress, whether you're actually making any progress or not.
But that's, I think, the key is a feeling of tangible progress, a feeling of accomplishing something that has real effect on this avatar of mine, his visual style, right, his play style, and that is something I think is underestimated by too many. It's the same crack that Borderlands has. Yeah. It's the same. It's like, oh, I have. Feedback. I'm getting feedback of the hours that I put in equal tangible things that happen for me. And yes, all games have that to a certain extent, but unfortunately with Star Wars, just seeing the end of the story sees the end of the story.
Well, in Diablo, the loot is actual fucking loot.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, there's, you know, Heavy Rain's got its rewards too, but there's no loot in it.
Right.
Well, you know, I've always been a proponent of this in loot games, is that you need to have this great depth of art design, and especially as pertains to all the loot you get. And I think it's a real function of, you choose a character class, a lot of times it's an extension of your personality and what you think would be cool and really fun to play, which means you're already invested in that. And then on top of being invested in that, you have, as soon as they tell you which doctor, and you think, oh, which doctor's for me, then you sort of have an image, a visual image in your mind after you've seen a little bit of their art of, here's what my witch doctor is going to look like when he's badass.
Right.
And then when a game moves up to the Diablo level is when they get that and they feed that to you early on. And within a few hours after that, they've blown you away, because now your witch doctor is still your witch doctor. And you're like, shit, I would never have imagined he'd look this cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
And yeah, I don't...
Very
I don't,
true. Very they, true.
Last night I was on with Zav and Alex and Dan, and the four of us were on nightmare mode in Act 2, and I'm sure there's going to be a million people that are like, you guys fucking suck. But anyway, we tried to kill Belial.
You guys suck.
Yeah. We tried to kill Belial
Noob.
Maybe a dozen times, probably more. And we were having problems, but I swear to God.
By problems, he means they wiped.
We wiped all, over and over and over and over and over. But I swear to you, it was never not fun. And I don't understand. I was thinking and thinking, like, what makes this still fun? Why do I go into high-end content in WoW and wipe over and over, and we're still having a blast trying to take down these bosses? What is it about when I play the same kind of thing?
Because you grab the blue pill.
Well, I mean, I think it also has, I mean, the social element, I think, also has a lot to do with it, right? You're playing with three people that you really
definitely
love spending time with, right? So that's definitely
maybe
a part
two
of it.
Them. No,
you're like that one guy.
Yeah. You know who you are, one guy.
So I think the social element is definitely big, but it's also like the new shiny thing, right? Like right now, Diablo is
absolutely
like your new shiny thing. I remember when I played Borderlands for the first time, like you said, it has that kind of addictive quality to it. I played nonstop all the time. Even when I played with my friends, I didn't care if I went back and played the same levels over and over again and did the same missions and collected the same whatever. It was the social aspect combined with this really kind of addictive gameplay mechanic that involves the reward gratification with loot, right?
And I have that same... I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be loot because I have that same addictive feeling about playing a game of Civ, for example.
Oh, really?
You know, where it's like, I got to play one more turn. I got to play one more turn. I got to... So it's not a, like an easy formula, I don't think.
Well, there's the reward loop, so the loot. There's the what's around the corner thing, like where I got to uncover some more of the map. And then there's the fact that the mechanics of the game are simple enough, like you have few enough keys to deal with that you can actually sort of, like, once you learn where your stuff is, you can just sort of forget about it and just kind of play. And so you're not, I mean, you can get really immersed in games like, say, Skyrim or whatever, or a really more robust RPG, but you're managing a whole bunch of different shit. And sometimes when you get home from a hard day of work and you're like, oh man, I'm crafting and I just want to kill a couple things, like, fuck this. Like, so that's what I mean. It's so elegant and simple that you just, you know.
By the way, just need to say, because last week there was some confusion, and I, last week, embarrassingly, did not know about elective mode.
Elective
mode. And 1,000 people tweeted me, and I appreciate every single one of you, although the first person was plenty. but thank God I found out about elective mode, and it's
game-changing.
Changing, yes.
Two more levels still in the darkness of this Weekend Confirmed. Stick around. After we take a little break, we will come back for the second half of Weekend Confirmed. Jeff, you played a lot of Skyrim.
Yeah.
Are you still playing Skyrim?
But I'm excited about the DLC. I will be...
Are you going to play now? So you didn't play PC, though, did you?
I didn't play PC.
If you play it on PC, you know what you could do right now?
What?
You could go on Steam, and you could click the opt-in to beta, and you could play with mounted combat.
That's pretty rad.
Yep.
That's pretty rad.
Melee...
That's almost enough for me to want to buy that.
Yes, what
melee
I'm doing this
and
weekend.
Ranged. Melee combat, ranged combat. From your horseback.
So
that
is awesome.
That should have been included when the game was launched.
Wait, there was a ton. I'm not going to let you slip with that.
That was one of my biggest criticisms of the game. Why can I have this cool horse riding mechanic, but not like do any spells or combat? You talked about that too when we.
Well,
talked
I was just
Skyrim.
Mad because of the because
you wanted to have clairvoyance while you were on horseback.
Yeah,
it's the horse union, and they're like, you know,
I didn't even need to combat. I just need a clairvoyance on my fucking horse.
Well, they showed it at DICE, and now it's coming in the next title update. There will be updates coming soon on when that title update will hit on the console versions. But right now, you can go and play on Steam by clicking into opt into the beta, as I said, and do mounted combat right now.
That's great.
Right now.
It's horsome, which either means horsome. It's awesome for horses or awesome for prostitutes. One of the two.
But I do sort of wonder, you know, in light of all these things and just sort of like tying the ribbon on the end of that MMO conversation, how The Elder Scrolls, as it's in development currently, looks at the situation and what sort of adaptations it makes.
I have lost a lot of my love for that. I am very pessimistic about that game.
Sight unseen.
Well, no, sight seen is the problem, is that what they've shown now is, it seems, or what they, maybe it's not shown, but what they've discussed seems to be, well, I just read that GI article.
It's an MMO.
It's
in the Elders,
the
in Tamriel.
Most
or Tamriel.
Common of MMOs.
Whatever. Yeah, but it
you
is.
You love Tamriel.
It's an MMO.
I do. And I'm happy to play. Give me another game in that universe that like Skyrim, and I will be buying it and playing a lot of it.
And I'm sure it will be very easy to become a Jedi. I'm sorry, wrong MMO.
but really, I'm sure there's some version of Jedi in there.
MMOs, the thing that I really wanted to say in the last segment, and I never really got around to it, is maybe financially speaking, but I'm not talking about from a industry standpoint. I'm talking about from me as a player. Because I don't play something for 2 years or 8 years like I play WoW, does not mean the game is a failure. If I can play an MMO and play up to level 40 or play up to whatever and get a lot of joy out of that game, and it doesn't feel like I wasted my time and I had a great experience, and just like I would play Call of Duty for 8 hours and, you know, and play a dabble in the multiplayer, and that's fine. I can enjoy those games and really have rich experiences, and it doesn't necessarily have to be my subscription.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
But that, I mean, obviously that's not what they want when they make them, but I'm from a just a pure gamer's perspective, I enjoy going, checking out, surveying MMOs. I enjoy playing a month or two of MMOs.
How's your survey of Dragon's Dogma going?
It's very brief. It's an unfortunate time to come out with a fantasy-themed.
It was an unfortunate time for fantasy adventurers.
The
dragon's attack came at a most unfortunate moment.
It looks like a really cool game, and the...
None of the dragon slayers were home. They were all off on other assignments.
The literally half an hour that I played it, it seemed like it had a lot of promise. But then I was like, oh, man, there's so much loot I'm not clicking on right now.
Where's that sound? That loot sound.
Clink, clank.
Why do you have a crystal embedded in your forehead? I don't understand what that's all about.
Radiant crystal. What's up? Took 3 perfects to make it. And some freaking pages of jewel crafting. Am I right, guys?
Yeah. You're right.
I think I need to leave now. All right.
Can I tell you?
So, Jeff, do you like Diablo 3?
I do. Can we talk about my barbarian for a while? Because I'm so excited. I just found a new build. That
That's not
really
your name
into...
for something else, is it?
My barbarian. his name. I just found like a true tanking build for.
Have
for...
you played it?
So yes, of course I have. No, I just wrote a note that said Max Payne on it and showed it to Garnet, and he was like,
about Max Payne,
and he would like give me this nod, and then he asked the question without prefacing it.
I'm just breaking off his barbarian conversation. Go ahead, tell us about your barbarian.
No, we'll talk about Max Payne. I played a lot of Max Payne.
By the way,
what's
tell
his
me.
Name? It doesn't matter.
What is your barbarian's name?
His name is Griff.
Griff.
Yeah. Griff?
Barbarian.
Griff the Barbarian.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is he a Griffster? Or is he just Griff?
Just Griff. You can call him the Griffster.
You know my witch doctor's name?
What?
Voodood.
Voodood. I like it. Too bad that if we play against each other, I will never see your name.
Yeah, that's true.
So what does Griff wield?
Well, I'm a sword and board guy right now. A lot of people are talking about dual wielding or maybe two handed being better, but I am going full tank with my new build, and I'm really excited about that. I just read some stuff on the forum about like having multiple shouts in my.
Never go full tank, man.
Do you find that you're approaching Diablo 3 more from a MMO like paradigm of tank, healer, nuker?
No, you can't. You really can't play it that way, but that's what's so exciting about this is I literally just found that, like, yeah, you can take, you can, I had all, strength is the barbarian's primary attribute, so I had all strength gems and all my sockets, and I took them all out, put in vitality, bumped up my health, put in amethysts, and now I'm, like, just trying to chain together stuns and threat. And usually, I mean, you can't really judge threat like you could do in an MMO in Diablo, but I happen to have a shout. Warcry has a threat rune, so I can maintain all the threat, chain together stuns with leap and what's the other? Ground stomp. And so I'm constantly stunning guys and then just wait till revenge pops and pop my revenge and just keep spamming that while everybody else.
The nerd VU meter is pegged. It's like.
I wasn't going to say it. I was like, someone out there is jizzing right now.
It's so much fun, you guys. It's so much fun.
The
ramping up of the difficulty is sublime. It's like it is brutal, but so fun.
It's a nice ramp.
Yeah.
I'm sending her a box of chocolates later. Do you think she'll go out with me tonight?
I played a lot of Max Payne as well.
Oh, yeah.
And you were raving about it last week, Jeff.
I finished it. I'm done. My review is in the hopper, so that'll be out soon.
The Dennis Hopper?
the Dennis Hopper.
I did not love. I love loving things, but I did not love Max Payne.
You didn't. No. I it's the most fun I've had with a shooter in probably the last 2 years.
I wish I felt that way. Yeah. I admire it.
Right.
I look at it and go, that is a well-made game.
Mm-hmm.
It is got Rockstar's attention to detail. It's got a beautifully rich world, a
right.
nuanced, interesting story that's full of twists and turns.
But where does the game kick your fun in the balls?
The shooting part.
You know,
just like all other Rockstar games.
You know, there's a bullet time mechanic. No, the shooting is actually real. It's the best of any of their games.
You that's have to turn
not
you,
untrue. Well, but
you
it's
have
still
to turn on the
great.
Individual reticules for each different weapon. I found that it's much more enjoyable when the reticule changes depending which weapon you have, instead of having the same little dot for each weapon.
More dots.
Now you feel it was too sensitive, not sensitive enough. It's
I felt
weird
like
area.
Just like in every other Rockstar game, mm-hmm. I'm waiting for animations to cycle, and
oh, really?
whilst being plugged with bullets.
Oh no, I didn't feel
I never
that at
felt
all.
That at all.
In fact,
either.
In fact, I think the animation work in that game is so good that just about anything you're doing can be interrupted by some other action, and it flows from one thing into the other. Like,
boy, I didn't find that to be the case. I was waiting for my guy to go into cover, and he was getting shot, and then I was he would fall on the ground, or he would be on the ground, and then I would wait for him to stand up while he was being shot.
Well, you can actually just lay there on the ground.
I know, I've did plenty of times. But then if he wants to stand up, he's getting shot. It's like, it just feels like everything is so slow, even when I'm not in slow-mo.
Maybe you're just not that good at it.
maybe you're doing it wrong.
Entirely possible. Which is,
high
you know,
five.
Of course, the easiest troll to make. No. Yes. But it's possible. I mean, I'm not...
Because the truth is always easiest to get to.
Maybe. I just, I don't, maybe I don't pop... the slow motion enough because the slow motion feels so goddamn slow.
But sometimes it's crucial.
Wait, the like, slow motion is slow?
There are certain... I think one of the beautiful things about the game is learning that rhythm, right? Learning when to go into cover, when to have movement in the space because the AI does flank you. Learning when to use bullet time, learning when to use the shoot dodge, right? Where you're like jumping and it goes into slow-mo.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a really kind of cool strategy finding out what works for you best. When to use an SMG and when to use a shotgun, you know, like, and with those things, with bullet time, with the cover system. And I have been really enjoying it. I'm like about a couple of hours into disc two, so I'm not quite done yet, but I'm in the home stretch. But I've really, really enjoyed this so far. And I agree, Rockstar shooting mechanic isn't normally my favorite. I personally dropped out of Red Dead Redemption earlier than I would have normally because I was really
Girl,
frustrated
crazy.
With the shooting mechanic. But I've been having a lot of fun with Max Payne. And I think the really kind of richness to his character and the writing in that game is so good that it's keeping me like on the hook.
Here's a very important question for you, Jeff, though. Have you turned off auto lock? Like any like soft lock or hard lock?
No.
Go to free aim. You will have...
Yeah,
initially,
just left trigger shoot, left trigger
yeah,
shoot.
No,
left trigger
no more, shoot. No more lock. So, yeah. So you actually have to
shoot,
and you will, and you will end up in. I mean, there were several sections where I probably ran at it like half a dozen times before I managed to succeed.
Oh yeah, multiple sections for me.
But
maybe you both should try sucking less.
Yeah, huh? Maybe we
well,
should.
Well, no, eventually
the
I did.
The game is hard. I'm sure the
oh,
the
where was
will
that
agree.
A minute and a half ago when everybody was cackling away and how Jeff was getting shot?
No, I just mean that.
We
like
our cackling.
Like,
yeah, no, you die a lot. Oh yeah, it's really hard. But Jeff, you're terrible at it.
I played all of 2 seconds with any of the aim lock stuff on. I know that was unfair. I'm not saying that you're good at it. I'm just
you're not clearly.
Clearly.
Well, I never claimed to be
good
at it.
But just,
you don't see any invites from his social club, do you?
Just do me. I mean, if you.
Yeah, I will.
If you're not totally like done with it and over it and just.
I literally, I shut it off a couple of, and I don't do this very often, but I shut that game off a couple of times because I was like, you spend a lot of time in that game not playing. A lot.
In the beginning, it's worse than the end. And at the end, I actually, there are some people that are complaining, oh, you know what, the story kind of
you don't
dials
like
down
that it's narrative? I thought you liked story.
I do like story, but it is set your controller down and watch
the
this
first
for...
the first two lot, hours are yeah. are pretty
I'm in
pretty
chapter
bad
nine
but a lot of the loading has is being covered by the cutscenes, which I appreciate. I like that I'm not stuck looking at a now like a loading screen. Instead I'm watching a cutscene. I would much rather watch a cutscene than watch a loading
who
screen.
Have you played 1 and 2?
I loved 1 and 2.
Okay.
Two so of my favorite
my concern, shooters. My concern about this from what I've heard, and I'm very interested in playing Max Payne, but because of the backload and E3, I'm probably going to wait until it goes on sale someplace and pick it up for like $30-$40 hopefully.
PC.
Or PC, yeah. Sure. Everything I've read has pointed towards them making Max very depraved, very just yeah. like...
It's got that rock star like... racism, sexism thing that they mind.
I'm worried
so well.
That they went over the edge because Max was always like this weird case of this guy who was in this like this.
I mean, as crazy as the situations he finds himself in, he is far more three dimensional in this game than he is in either of the first two games. I mean, you basically see. Okay, look, it opens up and he is, you know, older, more burnt out. He's already, his wife and kid were killed in the first game. His love interest was killed in the second game. He's no longer a cop. He's like private security, and he's an alcoholic. And so,
but it's dark.
And addicted to painkillers.
It's very dark.
No, but
yeah.
like if you think about, like, yes, it was a lot more pulpy and you know, less serious.
It was fun.
Less seriously take. Well, yeah, this is definitely, but this is like much more of an interesting character to me. Like,
I agree.
Like, I'm just like, wow, this guy is fascinating. And like,
it's just not a fun place to be. It's not a fun
place to be. Well, no, he's the guy. He's the guy that wants to.
You off?
Yeah.
There's a little of that. There's a little of that of it's like, oh man, this is just,
it's not,
just
that,
relentlessly
that concerns
dark.
Me. That's where you just nailed my concern. My concern is that piece.
Yeah. And that's true. And Max Payne for its noir-ishness was still fun and silly, and you were, you know, killing mobsters.
Less silly, though.
I'm a depressive
alcoholic.
Oh, it's
not silly at all.
Yeah, I don't need this guy.
You're
like,
in
it out.
No, it's not depressing, though. It's not depressing at all. Sure, it's not like slapstick comedy happening, but he's got some really funny one-liners that he does in, like, these inner monologues, but they're, like, smartly written in kind of like a smirk kind of humor way instead of like a laugh-out-loud funny way. And
I've seen people refer to it that way, so you didn't take it as darkly.
Well, it's definitely dark.
Well, there's an element of humor that comes with, or really dark humor that comes with somebody who is at the end of their rope. Is sort of like, look, I know I'm probably going to get killed, but this is what I got to do, and so be it. He's almost got a death wish to a certain degree. He's like, he talks a
now
lot.
That I could buy into.
He talks a lot about like rounding a corner, and he's like, you know, or you finish a level and he's like, well, none of those bullets managed to find me or whatever. Like, you know, maybe in the next room I'll get my ass shot off.
And literally every door you go through is a cutscene. Every door. I don't know.
Dude, it's so well done, though.
I agree with you. I admire the game. Yeah. I admire it. I'm like, wow. They rock starized this franchise. It is high quality from top to bottom. The freaking attention to detail. You're walking down the street and there's a bunch of kids playing soccer off to the side.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They are all like motion captured kids.
Every
playing soccer.
Every character in this game looks like it's
incredible.
Motion captured really well. Yeah.
So, you know, take my criticisms with a grain of salt. I just didn't really like playing it. I just didn't have
it's
fun.
I can respect that it might be an uncomfortable experience for some just because it is dark and heavy. And if you don't approach it with that, I don't know. Like I'm trying to compare it to a movie that would be similarly dark but still similarly enjoyable, and I'm sort of drawing a blank.
Well, I think the thing about the film noir approach of Max Payne 1 and 2 was that while it was dark, is that the little bit of comic book graphic novel styling helped pull it just far enough out of stark reality.
It was a bit campy.
It was a bit campy.
Yeah.
And so you could sort of, you know, bop along with that, right?
Right.
You could switch into gear for a minute, and then you could switch out of gear and be like, oh, okay, it's okay. Mm. Sort of like in a Hellraiser movie or something, right?
I was
like, oh, it's awful. Yeah. Oh, okay, it's really kind of campy, though.
I also find the sort of Tony Scott stuff kind of fatiguing.
It does. So it does a lot of like visual. So if you're
explain to me what you mean, I'm not sure.
If you happen to be drunk, like, oh, sorry, you were talking.
Ahead.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
No. Please.
If you happen to be drunk, you were clearly asking Andrea to chip in right here.
No, but if
you ignore that fireball.
If Max is drunk or on painkillers or whatever, it does like a little blurry screen wipe.
Well, it's
the
not
middle.
Even that. It's
like little static things.
Constantly, every cutscene in the game, mm-hmm. which of which there are wall to wall. It'll segment the screen and chop cut and then fuck with the colors and grainize the shot and then
throw text on the screen. Text like on the screen. You know, for people's conversations, a keyword will appear.
If you've seen any of Tony Scott's movies with Denzel Washington, they're kind of titles are
True Romance.
True Romance is kind of like that. But I mean, even the later ones, like what's the one Burning Fireman? What is it?
Man on fire?
Burning Fireman.
Burning Fireman.
I am clearly not right in the head.
Traitor? Was that Tony Scott? Traitor?
I don't know that one. Anyway, but it's that very, very stylized effing with stuff constantly. And I find it a little fatiguing. It's cool. I'm glad they went there. Like I said, I admire this game. It's just like the whole thing is just fatiguing, and I'm not really having fun with the shooting.
You find that sort of stuff distracting because it's interesting. I haven't played much of Ghost Recon Future Soldier, but it reprises that signature Ubisoft embedding of information into the scenes in really weird hybrid ways, like having the name of the location up on the wall, like superimposed.
There are a lot of similarities to that.
And I kind of like it in Future Soldier because it's part of the whole, I'm in a fantasy and I'm in the future, supposedly, not future, but like near future, like supposed to be a high tech sort of world, right? And it sort of all clicks together. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't work with...
When I first started... I get your point, though, Jack. When I first started playing Max Payne, at first, the text on the screen really bothered me. I was like, I just want to listen to it. I never play with subtitles.
You turn them
off? For a reason, yeah. Because if I turn them on, I'll read and I'll skip through the cutscene. Because I read much faster than you obviously are listening to it. So... I'm naturally drawn to read the text instead of listening and watching click. The characters.
That's a good point.
It's decidedly not subtitles because even people who are speaking Portuguese aren't subtitled.
Right? It's not.
It's accent. That's a wrong word too. It is making a point. It's for style.
Emphasis.
It's highlighting parts of the or parts of the dialogue. Yeah.
But after a while, I stopped being irritated by it and was like embracing it as part of the style of the game. And I was having more fun with the story and kind of rooting for him because he kind of is like this underdog character almost. And it's like, he's not like the hero, right? He's like the anti-hero almost.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
And you kind of get to this point where you just want him to win so bad because he's so beaten down. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like it's compelling me to keep playing and keep playing because I want to see him.
Tell me about the multiplayer. Has anyone played the multiplayer?
I have played the multiplayer.
And it's supposed to be really good.
It is really good, with a couple of caveats. So the bullet time thing, which is the thing that I was most worried about working in multiplayer, actually works really well. It's line of sight based. It's not like, you do have to kind of earn it. Like, it's not like you can just keep spamming bullet time all the time. And it is... So, like, if I'm looking at Jeff's character, whether he's looking at me or not, and I trigger bullet time, we'll both go into slow motion. But since I triggered it, I'll be able to aim faster than he can.
Oh, that's how it works.
Okay. Yeah, if we both trigger it, we both have, But usually the way when it's most effective is either when you're about to get your ass shot off and you want to shoot, dodge, and try to save yourself, or when you're coming up behind somebody that doesn't know you're there, bullet time, and before they can spin around, you can perforate them. So it's...
Although if you get hit like that, you probably are like...
Yeah, you're just walking along and like, oh, the world's really slow right now. I'm fucked.
So the caveats are that you eventually unlock bigger playing areas, bigger maps, but the initial smaller maps that you'll start out with are very small, to the point where you'll get into some matches where you're like, spawn 3 seconds dead, spawn 3 seconds dead, or it's small enough that even though you've spawned away from an enemy or from where the enemies are, somebody's running through the map and just happens to like sort of run by you as you're spawning. It does an okay job of trying to position you away from the enemies when you spawn, but it's like I said, the maps are so small, it's not always possible.
That seems ill-conceived.
Yeah. Bigger maps, not as big of a problem, but it's something I noticed. Let's see, and this isn't really a nitpick, but this is sort of a, just FYI. The Gang Wars mode in particular, which is an objective-based, you go through five different levels, and they each have one like a VIP protect or defend. One of them's like grab cash and bring it back to your checkpoint or stop people from doing that. Anyway, it's all different objectives. But the crew thing that they have set up, so you can crew up with your buddies, and it's a persistent crew that will transfer over between this and GTA 5 and other Rockstar properties in the future. You already are running into groups of people that are obviously communicating with each other, are obviously friends, and in these game modes, if you're just sort of random dude jumping in to like play, you get wiped out. Yeah. So there is a steep skill curve, and they do a little.
Dude, you got to join a crew to survive the streets of Max Payne.
Pretty much.
How it is in the city. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Or in the.
I think any like kind that. of objective based multiplayer is that way. It's the same with any kind of co-op. I found that in Brink, because that was really, you had to really rely on people and communication to be successful in that game. If you were like lone wolf, like you didn't. It didn't work out for you at all. Gears is the same way, too.
I'm a loner, Dottie. A lone wolf.
You know, that brings up an interesting thing about co-op. And there's a number of games coming this fall that will have co-op. And it is back to being a big thing. Mm. And one of the things that I have about co-op...
Is it ever not a big thing?
Yeah. Well, I think there were some ups and downs. Certainly, there's been some fits and starts as far as getting good co-op implemented and having it being taken up. And there's still... Look, for all the work that goes into it... There's still a number of games that have looked at their population studies and said there's not a lot of people playing our co-op, and we put a lot of work into making the co-op.
Hmm.
And I think that part of that is that although I mean, look, I think that we're blessed by being in the industry of having a tremendously large friends list. And yet I would still ask you on a regular basis, if you wanted to sit down and play Borderlands start to finish with three other people, that's a serious freaking commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's why sophisticated guilds in WoW got so structured and quite frankly so off-putting to anybody but the hardest core people in them, because they
need to have Tuesday nights free to raid, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's not conducive to the sort of co-op that's successful in these games. And I'm thinking,
what's so great about Diablo, bring up Diablo again, is for all their network problems at launch, and still there are slight issues here and there, they nail drop in, drop out, anytime, all the time, easy, you got your friends list, you can quick join, it is so easy and so well done. And if it's my game that somebody jumps in, you know, a couple people jump into, and then I got to leave it, they continue in my game. You know, it's not my game. It's all server hosted. It's great.
I'd like to see some more games pick that up. I mean, this is something that as I was just starting to check out Future Soldier, I was wishing it had, or wishing a game had developed well, was when I could come, you know, a experience where I could come home from work, get comfortable and sit down and decide, okay, I want to play Ghost Recon Future Soldier for a little while. And I look online and I've got, let's say, 15 friends online, but none of them are playing Future Soldier right now. And rather than try and go through the process of, okay, I'm going to set a beacon or I'm going to send them invites and see if they want to play, and then they're going to find the disc and then they're going to boot it up. And, you know, now we've wasted, you know, how much time. If there would be some way that when I was just in the mood to have like a casual but yet still co-op game, I could drop into just an existing game, play some. I'm not really sure. Like, I haven't completely formulated. I mean, as you can tell, this idea is still a little nebulous. But it's like something like, remember when Arcane, which speaking of Dishonored, the game they were working on prior to this, the name of it just flew out of my head. But one of the things that was going to be unique about it was that in the single player game, while you were playing single player, it would be online and real world people could drop into the AI-filled opponents.
The crossing.
Yeah. And a very Matrix-like sort of idea. And I thought, wow, that's really cool, because I could drop into this game and have this cool, not competitive multiplayer, not co-op, what we get most of the times now, which is some sort of objective-based, team-based game mechanic, and yet not have to feel the structure of another game, for instance, where I have to come in on a checkpoint and then we're going to play a certain amount of time. Those games are fun, but there's a structural component to it that doesn't fit necessarily the way we, or at least the way I, consume games all the time. I mean, you know, I may want to play with you guys and we might set up play dates sometimes, but then other times it would still be cool to get a good, you know, communal experience.
Well, and even Max Payne tries to address that a little bit by making tiers of different. So each mode in the game has a different tier of difficulty. You have regular mode and then hardcore. So team deathmatch and then hardcore team deathmatch, which you would think would segment out the super core players. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. It's kind of
super core.
Super core.
All right. If you are the super core and have stuck around this long, we still have one more segment to go. We'll figure out what we're going to talk about during the break. And when we come back, you'll get to listen to it. So don't go anywhere. You'll want to find out what it is.
Wow, still getting crazy with the beats. Okay, so we're back. We're going to wrap this thing up. Andrea faked me out because she had put down here that she had also played Ghost Recon Future Soldier. So I'll just say that
she's a liar.
She's a liar.
I'm a liar. It's sitting on my TV stand. I could not tear myself away from...
Diablo 3.
No, I'm not playing that yet. Remember, I have it downloaded, but I haven't played it yet. No, I was playing Max Payne 3, and then the American Idol finale was last night, okay?
Oh, jeez. The humanity! Wow. Are there fat lutes in that?
There are fat lutes.
Only for that blues guitar singing dude who won it.
Oh, Phil Phillips, I love you.
Is there a bard who plays a fat lute?
that's a good one. I like that.
Oh, God. There shall be a reckoning for this. Anyway, so I'm surprised Future Soldier, after all the long wait, does not seem to have a whole lot of attention behind it right now to me. Maybe it's just my perception.
It's that damn Coco advertising campaign that they did. Oh my gosh, don't get me started on that. Please tell me you saw the video.
I saw it. Like
with her playing the Kinect and her unitard.
I was like, when did they do a promotion with a chocolatey beverage?
Coco? Oh, I was going Ape, who can sign language.
Oh, see, that would have been cooler.
So look, I'll just leave it at this, and maybe we'll talk about it some more next week. You guys listening, if you would like us to talk about some more about Ghost Recon Future Soldier, tell me, and I will play some more of the weekend. Otherwise, I'll probably shelve it in favor of some other stuff after I do some moving this weekend. I'm going to finally get to play some Diablo 3, so I'm kind of
And then
forward.
You will be the one who will be trying to put it
You don't have to tell me. Do you not know the depth of my addictions to Diablo and Diablo 2?
Me too, dude.
I remember one time...
But it's been a long time, Garnet. That muscle inside you, it's waiting to come back.
I remember one time, this is probably like 4 years ago, and it was still when I was working at Ziff, and Milky was still working there. And we were up there late working one night. I don't remember. I mean, we were like deadline for a magazine or working on a cover story for 1UP or whatever the hell we were working on. And I hear like the chink, like that noise we were talking about earlier.
It's the best chink, noise.
Chink. I'm like, the fuck? And I go down the hall and Milky had this big office and I'm like, are you fucking playing Diablo? He's like, man, I installed it or something. And I'm like, do you have the discs? And next thing you know, of course, I spend 5 days or 6 days that I had no business doing, spending playing Diablo 2 for the 20 billionth time with another build, another fucking, trust me, I get it.
So we should prep the intervention now is what you're saying.
I totally get it.
You're going to be the one.
I totally get it.
Next week, you're like, can we just talk about it a little?
Be like, is that a food stain on your shirt? Like, yeah.
I do have one.
Do you know?
I have chocolate.
He does.
It's chocolate.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Oh, man.
Andrea's just like, I feel like I'm in high school today.
She's passing notes.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
I can talk about...
Anyway, Ghost Recon, though, something. I want to talk about just real quickly.
Yeah.
If you hadn't already played the demo, it is a really pretty game, although it has a still... It's not the same facial modeling problem that Skyrim has, but there's something not right about facial modeling in the game. I don't know if you've seen it. This makes me a little weird. I do like the idea of being stealthy in order to take the enemy by surprise, but still being in an... It's not a true stealth game to the extent of I'm just going to sneak through a level and trying to be a single operative, but it is stealthy. I mean, you really feel like a badass covert assault squad, which is pretty cool.
Speaking of which, do you guys hear the new announcement of the game Badass Covert Assault Squad? Because that's definitely going to be a game title at some point.
Bass.
BCAS.
Yeah. The boys known as Bass. Brothers in Arms.
Anyway, so it has a ton of potential.
Was it worth the wait? The massive wait?
The shooting felt good. The AI was very questionable. The game looks good. It has full co-op throughout the entire thing. It has a lot of potential.
I want to
play it some more.
I heard there was kind of some irony that it's called Infiltrator, right?
Future Soldier.
Future Soldier. Oh, you're... Okay, sorry. Thinking of something else. Moving on.
Infiltrator, I think that's like the next ZZ Top album.
Is there a next
Is there? Yeah. I'll buy it, whatever.
Because no one demanded it.
It's kind of like Lost Planet 3.
Hey! Actually, I was kind of impressed with Lost Planet 3.
Because no one demanded it.
It's talk about a series that has there been a series more disparate from sequel to sequel than The Lost Planet?
Well, I'm other than sure maybe there Final has. Fantasy. Final Fantasy would be right up there, which, by the way, I also play Theatrhythm.
Gesundheit.
Which I'll talk about after this because it's Theatrhythm.
I can't wait to hear about that. Actually, maybe we should just talk about that first. Do you want to just go right into that?
Dude, it's awesome.
Is it cool?
Yes.
I'm actually really excited about that.
As a fan of Final Fantasies, Theatrhythm is a blast.
I think it's amazing you can say that with a straight face.
What?
Theatrhythm.
It's fantastic. Dude, seriously, this is... I almost wish that Square would be a little more self-indulgent and like, so they do fan service things, but they do them awkwardly and make mistakes with them oftentimes. And if they would just like dive in and do crap like this, I think me as a Square fan and other Square fans would just be happier because this is pure fan service. It does not beat around the bush. It does not make any like claims to be anything other than it is pure fan service. It is the soundtracks to Final Fantasy turned into a rhythm game with a bunch of the characters of Final Fantasy that you get to sort of level up, and I'm using air quotes, while you're playing the game, while you watch videos from the Final Fantasies in the background.
I think it's a great...
It's perfect.
So basically you're saying if you don't like Final Fantasy, you don't get this
game. It's pointless.
It's a great title because if you can hear that title and not think they're patently ridiculous, then the game is for you.
Exactly.
Go, oh yeah, Theatrhythm. That makes sense. I'm gonna buy that. Yeah.
And it's super cool. It takes any of the Final Fantasies. It pulls music from them that fits each of a certain style. So in each mission that you run on a Final Fantasy, there's an opening and closing credit that you play, and then in the middle you play an adventure theme, and you play a battle theme, and you battle. Why are you looking at me like
that? I just imagine
somebody sitting around a boardroom going,
and you have like an action.
We got all this music that we've made. What can
That's
we
it.
Do with it?
That like, is exactly
Is the
it.
Rhythm game any good?
It's Elite Beat Agents.
I love Elite Beat Agents.
I mean, it's not exactly that, but it's really similar to that. You're on the DS. It works really well. And if you like Final Fantasies, you love this music.
All right.
And it is that condensed and simple, and then you win characters, and so you know you have like a little team of like Cloud and Squall and the Onion Knight. If you're me, that's who I chose to start out with.
Character in Game of Thrones, by the way.
Anyway, I really liked it. It was fun. It was cool. A fun diversion. It was a fun diversion for Superfan.
So Lost Planet 3
is a fun diversion for Superfan.
There's part of me that's very worried about it. Seriously with the notes? Seriously? Have you just completely checked out of the show, Andrea? What are you doing? She's got food drinks.
Look, there's little hearts and rainbows on here. Oh, that's
so sweet.
Some
of us are trying to put together a professional video game podcast right now.
I'm totally in this to win it.
Can you draw me a unicorn?
So, Lost Planet 3.
Yes, Lost Planet 3. I want to hear about this.
Do you like mechs?
Yes.
Are you interested in driving mechs of the size of 3-4 times the human size?
I am.
Can I interest you in a snow-related environment?
You can.
How about bugs whose glowy bits are sensitive to gunfire?
I too like bugs with glowy bits.
Then have I got an excursion for you. Travel to beautiful Lost Planet.
How will I find it?
Look for the shining number 3.
All right.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Come on now to Kanata's Antarctic Experience. You'll get tons of fun for only $14.99 a day.
Don't forget to grow your beard. It's cold out there.
Bugs hate beards.
Yeah, so your guy's bearded. And he's awesome. It seems very, as I said, John Carpenter... The thing, you know, you're like these dudes out in the snow and in a harsh environment, and you've built a sort of sciencey center, but it's got this awesome James Cameron element too, because you've got mechs, but it feels James Cameron-y, because you know how in all the James Cameron movies, all the technology feels like we've been using this for years, and it's like it's just part of my day, and I'm just going down to hop in the old rig.
There's like scuff marks on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome that way, and it really sells that. You know, the introduction to you using the mech for the first time is pretty great, and like how you get in and out of your mech is awesome. Like you grab onto this little zip line, and it zips you up because the mech is enormous. Not like in the Lost Planet games, the mechs have been sort of smallish.
Well,
right?
They were frames,
right.
And you clambered up into them, basically.
Yeah, but now it's literally too big for you to clamor.
Which is interesting because this is a
prequel.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Mechs were bigger in the past.
Yeah. It's definitely got much more style to it. It's you're not playing just, handsome gent number seven. It's a guy who looks like an individual.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Handsome jet number three.
Lost Planet. I don't know. And he's been working here. He's like got a family. He's recording these video diaries, and it's awesome. And then when you climb into the mech, it goes first person. The game is played in that kind of offset third person RE slash Gears slash every other third person game now thing. But when you get into the mechs, it's first person, and you're looking through these windows, and like if you kill something, it splatters their guts on your windshield. And the giant mech that you use is because you're just a dude at a job, and your job is to mine some shit on this lost planet in this, icy, frozen wasteland of this planet. So your mech has one hand that's like a grabby claw, like you would, maybe put some quarters in and try to get some stuffed animals. That. And then the other hand is like a spinny, spiky thing, like, I don't know.
Like Bioshock? Like Big Daddy Bioshock?
Yeah.
Kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. So...
Edward fucked up hands is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
The mech.
So you can, there's certain things you have to grab and manipulate, and there's other things. And then when you're fighting baddies, like there's these enormous baddies that I fought in the little demo they showed us, or they let us play. And at one point you'll get a prompt that it's open to be grabbed, and you can grab its arm, and then you like lift the left trigger or the left stick, and you bring your left arm up, and then you use your spinny thing.
Drill.
That's the word that I was unable to come to. Yeah, and you drill through the glowy bit and rip it off. And so it's very visceral and very... The only thing I'm worried about is that...
Not enough loot.
There's definitely not enough loot.
I can't click anymore. There's no clicking.
I kept clicking, and it was like... They're like, I brought my own mouse. I don't understand.
Whatever.
The shooting and the actual combat... didn't feel super dynamic. It does these canned animations that are really like a Dead Space would do. Mm-hmm. Like you get into a situation and the camera zooms way in and you have to like smack a guy and move your cursor so you stab it, which is awesome the first time you do it. But then the fact that you do it four more times in that short little demo, and every time it's the exact same animation sequence, it's a little like, oh, I'm just getting canned sequence number 12 or whatever. And then... So there's some worries as far as, is the shooting actually going to be really fun? Is the mech stuff going to be fun? Or is it just going to be like insert grabby hand A into slot B?
Did you get a survival?
Which can be fun on the weekend.
It's a great
Did
mechanic.
Did you get a sense of this being more like a survival horror game?
Yeah. Andrew, I mean, it feels that way.
Andrew thought it was going to be more of a survival horror sort of feel. I'm like,
well, it's survival horror in the way that Dead Space is survival horror, in the sense that you're shooting a lot of shit. You're shooting a lot all the time. Mm.
The necromorphs are pretty much survival horror sort of enemies. The bugs, I'm not so sure about. They're bugs.
You mean the bugs in Lost Planet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not... It's got that slower pace to a survival horror. It's got the camera that's really close. It's got the jump scare moments. It's got... Oh, but it's definitely got a more action-y vibe to it. Because you're doing a lot of shooting, and the shooting is, use your shotgun or use your other gun or grab ammo and... I mean, you do that in Dead Space as well.
So, did you play previous Lost Planets?
I did. I was really excited about 2, and it was maybe my biggest disappointment of that year.
I was not excited about it, and it was also one of my biggest disappointments of the year.
Yeah.
What did you think of 3, like, in terms of what they're doing with it this time?
I think it's a really bold move, and it's certainly way more interesting. Just in that little bit that I saw, I mean, just the intro to that world, and you're having these interesting conversations, and a cast of characters that... all seem well wrought. It's not just standard guy. Everybody has a personality and a unique look to them, and it really feels like a cinematic experience of being in this
which is way better than Nameless Soldier A, Nameless Soldier
exactly.
B.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, which Lost Planet 2 was the absolute 180 degrees from that, which is everything is nameless and you're just an army, and it's so it's a really cool idea. I'm just hoping the pure mechanics of shooting and using the mechs, because the mech is really slow. It's you only have a few things, and then you're always hopping in and out of it because you want you on your feet to do shooting sections.
Right.
But again, it was about an hour demo, maybe probably less. So there's a lot more. That's not bad, but there's a lot more of the game that we haven't seen yet. But it's promising from a premise statement situation, but not necessarily from the
I think it's one of the early surprises of E3 for sure.
Yeah.
Based off of everything I heard from everyone who's seen it. Andrew, yourself, other folks who were around at those at the presentations. What else did you see last week? Anything else you can talk about?
I don't think I can talk about it.
You didn't get to see Rock Band Blitz, huh?
No, I didn't.
You didn't see it at PAX East?
No, I didn't.
It was also playable there.
I was here with you.
Dude.
So fun.
The game is way better than it has any business being. And I say that not as a derogatory comment. I say that as it is on the surface of it. It looks so simple, but it is genius. It is so
What's
fun.
Genius about it?
It's genius in that it combines everything that Harmonix has done well in their prior games, both from the Frequency line and from the Rock Band line, and makes a great game out of it.
Because what they've done well is like make a guitar controller that's really cool and fun to use. And
right.
But that's
and
not
so if Rock Band games became as much about a performance karaoke. What's cool about Blitz is it really brings it back to being a game.
It's the skill involved in playing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so but then it borrows so much that they've perfected in Rock Band. So namely all of the instrumentation. So the instrumentation highways are still laid out in front of you and you only have two channels within each highway. So there's left and right. And the beats for each, there's no difficulty to this, for one thing. Remember, you know how in Rock Band you're always choosing difficulty?
Yeah.
You are more in control of the difficulty here, because one thing they found was that almost all music that's popular music has
shitty. Sorry.
Has at any time pieces as parts of the instrumentation has voices within the instrumentation that are of varying difficulties, because there's something in the lead, there's something in the background, and there's something in the middle. And because you can switch between those highways whenever you want to, you're going to naturally select and play at the difficulty level, if you will, that fits you. And so if there's a spot where you want to challenge yourself, you may hop over to the guitar solo. But if the guitar solo gets intense, you may hop back over to the drums that at the moment are just playing the rhythm underneath the guitar solo.
That's pretty brilliant.
And so each of these highways then has its own multiplier, and there's checkpoints down the highway. And one of the ways that you score more and more is by locking in the multiplier that you've gotten across each instrument by having the threshold, the bass threshold. So let's say you've got drums and bass and guitar and vocal, okay? And you're doing multipliers on each of them and you're hopping back and forth. Whatever the lowest one is, you lock in that multiplier at the next checkpoint for all your scoring. So let's say you've got 4X, 5X, 9X, and 12X. You've locked in 4X when you hit the next checkpoint because that was your low one. So one of the strategies you do is as you're playing down the highways, you're looking at all the little road signs down the highway that show you where it would take you to get to the next multiplier and thinking, I'm 5 over here, I'm 7 over here, I should really hop over here, but there's a really good solo over here that I want to catch and score off of. So there's a lot of tactical maneuvering within the music highway to score the best that you can score off the songs. And it really fits well. It's not what it was playing an instrument.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not jamming 5 buttons on the guitar or playing the drums with sticks. You still, though, get this really strong sense of connectivity with the music. You still get that Rock Band of I'm jamming with the musicians who are jamming and I'm rocking out on this song and I'm having a great time with it. And you get this sense of what I do is really important because I'm also needing to consider it tactically, do the sort of amplitude, frequency, jump around from track to track, build things up. You don't have to do the deal where you had to like build up each track to bring it in. The music plays, and it's very, very well thought out the way that all goes together.
I also really liked that you can choose the kinds of power-ups that you want every track that you play. Like you can choose from a variety of power-ups. If you like one over another, you get to choose how you want to, you know, get this instead of just getting like a generic set thrown at you for every track.
And the power-ups are really cool. So for instance, one of the power-ups is a bandmate. And so you could be playing on a track, and once your power-up is ready to fire, you can launch your power-up on that track and then switch to another track, and they'll keep playing on that track and scoring points for you from hitting those gems, and you can be scoring points in another track and scoring, you know, you move over to another instrument and be scoring on that highway.
Huh.
Yeah, and another thing that I think that, you know, Harmonix really nailed is, like, over the years of them doing the multiple rock bands and starting, obviously, with Frequency and putting out these installations, is that they've come up with more creative note combinations. So when I remember when Frequency first came out, there was really not that much variety in the way the notes were put together. Because obviously there's a set amount of beats and then the combination of which buttons you hit. Now I feel like there's a much more creative variety of the combinations of and the order of which you hit the buttons that make it more fun to play.
And this, of course, also is really well tied into social networking and the social elements of Xbox and PlayStation Network, where you're going to see your friends list, and you're going to have, of course, you like while you're playing, much like you did in Need for Speed and other games where you can do competitiveness, you've got good reason to come back and play ever again. So, you know, look, if you've got favorite songs, it's nice to hear them, but now you have a really great challenge. You had this challenge all along in Rock Band. But there was certainly a curve that very quickly accelerated to get to the top. Here it's so playable and yet still so game. It's still so much a game and something you want to perfect and get better at and feel like you can improve on and just have fun with. I really dug it. And that's why I was saying, for something that seems like a simple, you know, downloadable game,
yeah,
that you're like, oh, okay, it's no big deal. I had completely underestimated how much fun it could be.
Is it out or coming out?
It's coming out this fall, I think.
Okay, so it's still
summer. Is it still summer? Target date, yeah.
And it's I mean, regardless, it's going to be a great deal. It's going to be 30 songs for, I think they said the target price is like $15. So no matter how you slice it, and all of them will play with Rock Band 3, and all your Rock Band library that you already have comes into the game.
It's cool.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, so they figured out a great way to use all that Rock Band library.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, totally digging it. What else did I play? I also played Infinity Blade Dungeons.
Do you like it?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, your eyes got
as much as you like Diablo, and you have an iPad, right?
I do. Did you just say as much as I like
Diablo? As much as you like Diablo, when you play Infinity Blade Dungeons, you will be really, really hooked. Now, and this comes from me who doesn't like Infinity Blade, because I find the combat was really cool, but once you get past fighting things with your finger, it gets just completely monotonous.
Yeah.
This is really cool. It is Diablo in a beautifully rendered scene, but with so much more to do. There's character development, there's building weapons, and the building weapon system is really cool, because when you go to forge weapons, you actually are doing it interactive with a touchscreen, which is kind of a silly little thing, but it's kind of cool. There's just all the leveling up system that you would have inside of a mature action RPG. And I found that the one thing I was worried about the most, which is the control, works great. You know, if you played Torchlight, where you hold the mouse button around down and drag your cursor around to move your character, it's the same thing. You just put your finger down instead.
It doesn't sound fun. Dragging my finger around on my screen.
Okay, like so tap a spot where you want your guy to go.
Oh, okay,
you can do either way. You could tap a spot where you want him to go, or you can drag around if you want to guide him.
Yeah.
And then all of your special attacks are swipe combinations.
That's
so
cool.
If you want to do a whirlwind, you do a whirlwind. Hmm. You know, you just like swirl your finger on it. It was really fun.
Yeah,
and it looks really pretty.
Hmm.
Of course, it looks really pretty.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was sold.
I definitely want to try it now. I saw you talk about it on Sheck News Daily, actually. Didn't you? You did a video.
Did I? I don't know. Those things.
It's all blurring together.
He's like, I don't remember doing that.
You do that damn thing every morning. It's like, come in, get the stories together, get the script done, get in front of the camera, get it done. Oh, shit. What happened?
You're preaching to the choir, my friend.
It's like, I don't even know what's on it. I actually do spend a good amount of time making sure that I know what we're talking about. It's just, it's day in and day out. It's like, becomes a blur. I actually do know more about like the goings on and news and all that kind of stuff than I have in a long time, just from day to day. Like, you have West and Zappella written down and Bungie contract. And I have both of those things in my brain cells. The West and Zappella thing.
Well,
I'm not big on lawsuits.
No, that's not the news. The news was because of their lawsuit, this 2010 Bungie contract with Activision was put onto the internet, was made public. And there was a lot of, you know, speculation about the terms in the contract, people talking about, like, what Bungie got, their deal with Destiny, this game that was listed in the contract as a...
Sounds like a stripper, doesn't it?
Like a 10-year installment.
Yeah.
Or, no, it was a game that was supposed to come out, a four-installment game every 2 years with DLC, like, in the interim. So, I just thought it was interesting. I just didn't know if you wanted to talk about it or not. If you don't care, we don't have to talk about it.
I'm really eager to see what Bungie is working on, and
Like, yes, so maybe points a little bit. I mean, you know what else I'm really interested to see is what Respawn's working on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Really interested to see the Respawn game. Really interested.
Well, and I'm interested to see what Robert Bowling is doing. He's having a big announcement at E3.
Mobile space, though, right?
I don't know.
I believe they said they're going mobile space. So there's that. There's Medal of Honor yet to come. There's Crysis 3 yet to come. Oh, by the way, you're not excited in E3. So I guess we'll talk to you in a couple. Like, you know, maybe sometime when you get excited, you can...
I'm rolling my eyes at you, even though people listening can't see it.
All right.
I can hear it.
Let's bring it home. Let's do the finishing moves.
It's the weekend, and it's time for finishing moves.
You know, I didn't plan was who was going to start. Jeff will start.
I'll start. I'd be happy to start.
Sure.
We, once upon a time on this show, used to feature bands.
We did.
And you were talking about Rock Band, which made me think of a band that I discovered this week that is purely because Carlos, who was a guest on our show a few weeks ago, tweeted about, and I read his tweet. And I went and checked out this band. It's called Fevers. If you go to feversband.com. One of my favorite bands of all time is Canadian band, Montreal band called Stars. And these guys are very reminiscent of it. Turns out they're fans of our show.
What?
They're fantastic. It's
really?
It's sort of a synth poppy kind of like Stars. I'm sure they'll be upset about however I describe it, but it's really my kind of music. And I was very impressed. I spent a long time listening to the music on their website, and I urge everybody listening to do the same because it's pretty cool. And it's cool that they listen to the show.
Link me up and we will put it in the show notes.
Will do.
Awesome.
Feversband.com.
Andrea Renee. No.
Not ready yet.
She isn't ready yet.
I thought I was ready, but I'm not ready yet.
All right. That's what she said.
I'm ready, I guess. So, I don't know. This is sort of a weird finishing move, but I just got a new iPad.
Hey.
And it is my first iPad. It is my first iOS device besides a Touch. And
so what'd you put on it right away?
Welcome to 2006.
Well, game-wise, I've been playing a lot of Sword and Sorcery.
Great game.
Picked up Draw Race. I tried Hunters 2 based on your recommendation the other night, Garnett, and it's freaking awesome.
Rodeo games guys know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. So there's a lot. I mean, I'm still, it's almost like ADD, a kid with ADD with this thing now, because I'm like, ooh, let me try 2 minutes of this and 2 minutes of this, and now I'm going to download some more apps. And it's, I'm loving it. It's probably my most favorite handheld thing that I've ever owned.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well done. I have, although I have not had much time to play of late between pre-E3 stuff and moving. God, I'm so ready to be done moving. Ugh, I still have more moving to do this weekend. Like, don't ever move.
You got to move it, move.
Ugh. Anyway, I've been trying to finish Binary Domain. And I just would like to say, Binary Domain, super underrated. Do love this game. It is so fun. And shooting up the robots and knocking pieces off of them is you know, like, gives it a baseline mechanic that's fun, but then the rest of the fun part that's sort of hung off of that hangar is really, really quite entertaining. Like, I get to a part, I think I'm getting laid. I'm in like act 4 now, up in the upper city.
Sounded like you said I'm getting laid.
That's what I heard too.
That's what it sounded like. Yeah,
but I'm getting laid too. Anyway,
mention it.
It does sound like a fun game.
Not by the French robot, which is amazing because only in a Japanese turn to like weird American or, you know, international team would you get a assault robot that is supposed to be from France that speaks English with a over-exaggerated French accent.
That's awesome. Nice.
That is a fucking amazing. And you're just like, wow, I love this robot. Yeah, monsieur, I shall go right now. Oh.
Wow.
I'm like, awesome. This is the most amazing attack robot ever. The French attack robot, it doesn't speak French. It speaks English with a cartoon French accent. Amazing.
Pepe le robot. Whenever you tell that French attack robot to attack, does it go,
I give up.
It goes, sacre bleu.
I surrender.
I think it has actually said sacre bleu.
That's awesome.
All right, Andrea, that is it. It is now served up to you on a platter.
Well, I think you would be proud of me to know that I finally set a goal that by the end of the summer, I will have my gaming PC.
Hell yeah.
Wow. All right.
That's my goal.
Well done.
I've plotted out what I need to get, even though I'm definitely open to suggestions.
First thing I need to get, gaming
PC. For pieces. So if you guys have specific parts of a gaming PC that you're like, this one thing
are you
is
build
really
this
awesome.
Thing?
Well, I'm working on it. My friend Devin, who works over at Tom's Hardware, is kind of guiding me because he's like the gaming PC expert.
Sure.
And he's helping me. So I haven't quite decided.
Are you getting Super Rig? Are you doing Super Rig?
I can't afford a Super Rig.
Oh.
I am kind of in like the high three figures to low four figures range.
You can get a great computer for that.
Yeah.
Don't listen to John Davison.
Yeah, I mean, but...
4 years
Dude,
ago.
I have to bring that joke up every time. I can't let it lie.
But it's been too long since I've owned a PC that I can game on. I love my Mac laptop. I mean, it's served me really well, but...
Torchlight 2 conversations are coming.
It's time. It's time for me to join the PC gaming master race.
Sweet!
I support that message.
All right. All look forward to lots of E3 coverage coming from all of our outlets, or all of our outlets, including Machinima.com, or Machinima's YouTube channel, I guess would be more appropriate.
Yes, we will be live streaming during the entire E3 week. We'll be live streaming the press conferences. We will be live streaming from the show floor Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Awesome.
Wow.
The Totally Rad Show.
Yes. We will be not live streaming, but we will have daily content throughout E3. Hopefully Garnet will make appearances.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Definitely.
And even though there is a lackluster lineup,
it's very disappointing.
It'll be lots of
it's
excitement.
Very disappointing. I'm already
disappointed. I'm never going to hear the end of that.
Probably not.
Like I said, convince me. And just based off this short 2-hour conversation that we've had about it, I'm like the musterings of excitement are stirring in my soul.
Sweet!
You're... It's funny. Someday she soon hopes to be excited.
It's like pre-excitement.
It's like, you know, there's some,
you know, you got to warm her up a little bit.
Could just be, you know, a little indigestion.
It's gas, maybe.
Yeah.
Jesus. We'll reconvene after E3 and I'll be like, oh my God, I was so wrong. What was I thinking? That'll probably happen. Yeah. So.
All right. That's it.
You guys control me in the comments if you want. I expect it.
Even if they don't want, they probably will.
As yes.
This was fun. I'm excited about E3, and it's going to be a nuts. What's the We Can Confirm plan for E3? That's the girl question.
We're doing it. We're recording a show Friday morning, I hear in my ears.
All right. Are we having...
And we're going to be doing some other stuff.
Are we having mad guests?
What we're going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. I haven't even figured it out.
All right.
We're also going to be, you know, be doing the Daily Show, which we're going to videotape someplace down there, which will hopefully you and Danny and Alex also come on, and Andrea will come on. Andrea will be on, definitely.
I would love to be on.
Awesome. Well, you're signed up. All right.
You can give a
people are now so thoroughly bored. They're like, these fuckers are actually figuring out what they're doing for coverage on the air 2 weeks before. Yeah.
Professionals.
I already started getting drunk over here.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. All right, that's it.
End of show.
End of show.
And on that note, we are Ghost. We can confirm. Work so hard that you know we play harder. Work so hard that you know we play harder. Yeah, come on. It took a minute for me to see what was going down. My body's vibrating, pulsating to the sound. Hey, bartender, hit me with another round. I gotta finish, she's ready. This episode brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to Squarespace.com and use offer code WeekendConfirmed5. That's Squarespace.com and the code WeekendConfirmed and the number 5.